Today, New Zealand property remains in the doldrums with more questions ahead. Hello again, it's Miles North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, that is posts covering finance and property news. One of the things I try to do is to keep abreast with New Zealand and specifically New Zealand property, not least because the Reserve Bank of New Zealand lifted rates higher, migration has been pulled a lot lower, and in fact we've seen quite a considerable drop in home prices in New Zealand relative to Australia. So I always try to get hold of the latest data, and now we've got the April 2026 series from the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand, and it tells the continued story of, well, weakness across the country, but not uniformly so. For context, it's worth noting that the home price index that they publish is down now 15.9% from its peak. That's on average across the country. But if you exclude Auckland, it's down just 10.9%. And despite this, Southland recorded a new high. So actually, the detail matters. The Reserve Bank in New Zealand kept the official cash rate at 2.25% in April, but signalled that rate rises would probably follow if core inflation fails to ease towards 2%. It's well above there at the moment. Most major bank economists now think that an OCR hike this year is more a probability than a possibility, with ANZ, ASB, Westpac and Informetrics all bringing forward their hike forecasts, with some now anticipating that the first move could be as early as the 27th of May. Data from the Reserve Bank released to the end of April shows that the value of new commitments are up just a little, but well off the peaks from December 2025. Their next release is 26th of May. Annual growth in the total value of new commitments increased for the three main borrowing categories, with the total value of lending for owner-occupiers increasing 11.5%, for investors up 6.1%, and for first-home buyers it was up by 18.9%. And the share of new mortgage commitments to first-home buyers remained unchanged at 20.9% in March compared with February 2026. And comparing that to March 25, there was an increase of 1.2%. The share of new commitments to investors increased to 19.9%, up from 18.8% in February, but there was a decrease in comparison to March 2025, where the share of investors was 21%. And the REINZ said that despite a dip in April sales activity, most regions remained relatively steady, with broader market conditions largely unchanged. That's in its property report for April 2026. And they showed that the national sales fell 7.9% year on year, yet the total of 6,262 represented, they say, a genuine if modest decline, with both April 2025 and April 2026 sitting close to the historical midpoint for every April since REINZ began tracking their data back in 1992, nice bit of spin there. April 2025 ranked 15 of 35 in that data set. April 2026 ranked 18th. Now, New Zealand, excluding Auckland, declined by 4.8% year over year, with sales down from 4,704 to 4,479. The season adjusted sales count declined 2.1% to get to March, a more moderate signal than the raw month-on-month drop of 21.2%, most of which they say is seasonal. So he suggested that buyers remain active but measured, responding to cost of living pressures rather than stepping away from the market. On the other hand, seasonally adjusting the numbers so significantly may, of course, mean that we are missing a significant change, something we've seen in other data series, for example, in some of the unemployment series around the world. Now, they went on to say that April 2026 marks the first clear sign that the combined weight of cost of living pressures, higher fuel costs, food prices, insurance, and local body rates began influencing buyer decisions in a meaningful way. The impact was not uniform, though. Regions with higher vehicle dependency and lower median household incomes, like Hawke's Bay and Marlborough, saw the largest softening activity, consistent with pump prices hitting household budgets most directly in those areas, whereas Canterbury and Southland and Otago continue to record solid sales activity, though this does reflect the relative strength of their local market fundamentals rather than any insulation from cost pressures. Now, we may have passed the initial shock of the overseas conflict, but this is now flowing into cost of living pressures, and Kiwis are potentially facing an official cash rate hike through winter. Fuel costs are amplifying regional differences, particularly in vehicle-dependent areas, against a broader backdrop of rising living costs, including food, insurance and rates. And of course, we've got election. Election years in New Zealand have typically brought slower decision-making from vendors and longer selling times, rather than a sharp movement in prices. This uncertainty is weighing more heavily on Wellington due to its public sector exposure. But again, to underscore this, conditions vary by region. The median price eased slightly by 0.6% year on year to $775,000. Meanwhile, excluding Auckland, median prices were the same as they were in April 2025 at just around $700,000. The uneven nature of the current market is clear, with performance continuing to vary widely by region. 8 of the 16 regions recorded year-on-year increases in median prices. The most substantive gains were in Southland and Northland, up 6.2%, Gisborne up 4.3%, Waikato up 3.4%. The West Coast recorded a sharp single-month lift of 42.4% to $470,000, though, have to be very careful, this is based on just 47 sales and therefore should be considered in context. Tasman, Nelson, and parts of the North Island recorded softer results. The three-month median of $785,000 was up 0.6% year-on-year and provided a clearer indication of underlying price movements, they said. National inventory levels rose by 3.9% from last year to 37,334 properties. Supply levels moved in both directions over April, with a sharp incline on an annual basis, but down month on month, and new listings increased 7.4% year on year to 9,139, while excluding Auckland, there was a slight decline of 0.4% to 5,717 new listings. National monthly movements saw a decline of 24.2%. Median days to sell remained steady throughout April, with properties taking a median of 42 days nationally, only a one-day increase compared to last year. Excluding Auckland, the median was also 42 days and saw no change year-on-year and month-on-month. The auction market sustained its share nationally. 14.1% of sales went to auction, up from 13.7% in April 2025. But Auckland held a 22.9% auction share, which was slightly lower than last year's 23.9%. And Canterbury lifted to 19.2% from 17.4%. The strong use of auctions, they say, highlights ongoing confidence from vendors and salespeople in competitive sales processes, or not. The REINZ concluded that for the housing market, the shift from a cutting environment to an imminent rate hike environment removes the tailwind of falling rate expectations that underpinned 2025's recovery and begins to reduce the prospect of new serviceability pressures, a meaningful change from April's starting position. So the key question for May and June is whether listings continue to build faster than sales can absorb them as we move into winter. And of course, the context here is that OCR hike, which is incoming given that inflation is still off key and more pressures are coming down the pipes. Therefore, we can conclude that the property market in New Zealand will continue to struggle somewhat over the next little while. And I remind you again that they're still way off recent highs, thanks perhaps to some of the changes in migration, as well as bank lending policy. So interesting times in New Zealand, and certainly property is a little bit of a bellwether of the broader economy too. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.